Would you please join me for our reading of Scripture? Today's reading comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. Please follow along in your own Bibles or with the Scriptures on the screen. Again, that is Matthew, chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. Hear the word of the Lord. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
You know, when I was a small boy in Singapore, I remember going over to my grandmother's house after school. And when I was there, I would have lunch with her, I would talk with her, and hang out with her. And after lunch, I would go and take a nap on her bed. But I also remember her sitting with me before I slept, and she would pray with me. I'd heard her tell me about God before and the different Bible stories of how God came through for so many people who put their trust in him. And as a kid, I was always so fascinated that there was this invisible and powerful being that loved me and would want to guide me in my life. And even though I didn't understand all of it or even believed in it at that time, I felt comforted whenever she did pray for me. And even though in my own household, we never talked about God or even prayed, I can remember lying in bed at night, remembering how my grandmother prayed, and then trying to do that myself when I was scared as I talked with God, like I had seen her talk with God. And when I turned 18 years old and had to return to Singapore to fulfill my military duties, I lived with my uncles and their families, and this was where I had the now opportunity to see my uncles and aunties as they prayed with their families, and even when they prayed with me. And this made quite an impression on me. In fact, when I was alone, I started to emulate how they prayed as I tried talking to God whenever I had questions or I didn't know what to do. And though I didn't know what to really say or even know if there was even a way to say it, seeing others pray gave me some sort of training wheels to try it on my own as I learned to speak and listen to God for myself. And for many, prayer can be very intimidating because, I mean, how do you talk to God and how do you listen to him? What do I say? I mean, it can get awkward because after I try saying what I want to say, there's just radio silence after. I mean, did God even hear me? Is there actually a right and wrong way to pray? And this is why the people in the first century who were following Jesus approached him, because they wanted to know, hey, Jesus, how do you pray? How do you talk to your Father who is in heaven? I mean, they had seen Jesus do it time and time and again, but they had no idea how to have such a conversation themselves because this concept of praying was so foreign for them. And why? Well, because in Old Testament times, God frequently spoke to his people through priests and prophets. But now, Jesus was introducing a new avenue of connection with his Father that anyone could engage in. And whether you consider yourself to be a follower of Jesus or not, we have all found ourselves praying at one time or another, whether we believed in it or not. We either don't know how to pray or even start. And so what do? We throw up the occasional one or two word prayers like help or bless me. Or we recite prayers like mantras or say the same religious prayers again and again like some sort of magic formula hoping to get what we want in return. Or we do know how to pray, but we don't do it enough, even though we know it's important, because we're just too busy with everything that we need to do. And for many, when we do pray, we can find it meaningless and ineffective as we feel our words are just disappearing into the atmosphere. I mean, it doesn't seem like God hears me or is moving on my behalf. You know, we're in our new sermon series called Reliance, Seeking God Like Never Before. And many of the prayer principles in this series have been adapted from Pastor Rick Warren's teaching on the 40 days of prayer. And during these 40 days of the series, we're going to seek God for who he is, for the obstacles that we face, and for him to move in, through, and around us. Our hope is that as a result of these 40 days together, you are able to now pray with more confidence and with greater faith than before because of God's power in your life. But as we learned last week, prayer is not manipulating God to get everything that we want like a genie. Prayer is not a way to bribe God like when people think, you know, God, I'm going to do my part. You know, I've been good. I haven't sinned lately. And so you better do your part and help me. Prayer is talking and listening to God. Prayer is saying, hey, God, I need you in my life. And whenever we pray, it reminds us that we are not in control. And instead, we are dependent on God as we face the things in our life. Because prayer is never an emergency button for us to just push. But instead, it is a deep relationship that we get to develop. Because God has always been all about relationships. Prayer does not start with what you need, but prayer always starts with who God is. And that is why Jesus' disciples asked him to teach them how to pray. Because if they could understand prayer, and if they could do it and practice it themselves, not only would their lives be changed, but so would the world. Prayer was the power behind everything that Jesus did, which is why Jesus gave them and us a pattern and a template to show us how to pray, which is the most famous prayer that we read about in Scripture, known as the Lord's Prayer. Jesus tells his disciples, this then is how you should pray. Jesus gives us a pattern for prayer, but he's very clear that this is an example of how you should pray, and not that this is all you should pray. See, this prayer was not meant to be prayed as a mindless ritual, as a good luck prayer, nor something that you just say in order to memorize and then just say it during some sort of church service. Although this is a prayer that can be used with conviction when we do pray, Jesus's point in giving us this model was for us to venture off and talk with God even more on top of this foundation that he has given us. And when we can understand this prayer, it can actually help us to know God's heart and allow for us to grow in our communication and our relationship with him. So Jesus prays, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So this is one prayer that can actually be broken up into 9 different prayers. And the beauty behind this prayer is that this template that Jesus gives us allows for us to seek God and even communicate with him in so many different ways. And so what I'm going to do is to break up this one prayer into 9 steps for you to follow. The first is step 1, which is a prayer of connection. Jesus said, our Father in heaven. This absolutely blew the mind of the disciples when Jesus said this, because when he said our Father, he was saying that his Father is our Father. And this was weird and new to those hearing this for 3 reasons. The first is that God was looked to as someone that was distant and who only talked to important people like the priests or prophet. The second reason is that for most of the disciples who were listening to what Jesus was talking about, they didn't have actual fathers around. Because at the time in the first century, the life expectancy of males was very, very low. And the third reason why this was unheard of was because father was such an intimate word to use, and to call God Father meant that we could be intimate with God. Jesus used the Aramaic word Abba when addressing his father, which signified personal intimacy, that our supreme creator is our Abba. That is what babies do when they try to say father, right? They go Abba, 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 Abba. I mean, this changed the whole relationship because we could be real with God and we could know God. And by Jesus allowing the disciples to say father, meaning Abba, he was letting them know that God was a father who cares and loves them. And the reason why the prayer starts out with connection is because it helps us to remember that God wants to connect with us. He wants to have a relationship with us. He loves us. And that is why it starts out that way. However, for some, seeing God as their father is hard for them because they didn't have, or they don't currently have, a good or healthy relationship with their own earthly father. Many have had earthly fathers who demeaned, degraded, and disrespected us. They were abusive, or they were even absent. And so seeing God as father, man, that opens up wounds. But Jesus wants us to know that our Heavenly Father is not at all like our earthly fathers. Our Heavenly Father knows our needs. He loves us and He wants to guide us through every single step of our life. He is never condemning or absent and will always be there for us. That is why this opening line reminds us that we are loved and that we have an avenue for connection with the Heavenly Father, with the Heavenly Abba. Step two is a prayer of worship. Jesus continues saying, "Hallowed be your name," which means holy is your name. This is where we worship God for who He is, and we get the opportunity to tell God how much we love Him because He loves us. See, God is the most powerful and invincible being, and He has created us for connection and personal relationship. And when we take time to worship God in prayer, it is like when you're in the presence of someone great and famous. You just want to adore them with compliments like, "Wow, you are amazing. Oh, I can't believe how talented you are." Well, when we are in the presence of God and we communicate with God, we get to adore Him with our very own words. And so what I do to help me with this is that I go through the alphabet as a way to remind myself of the different attributes of God. And I use that as a way to worship God before I even start talking to Him. For example, "God, you are awesome because of how you've been working in my life. God, you are bigger than all my fears. I love how you care for me. God, you are the man who fights for me." And by saying these things, it is reminding me of who God is and what He's capable of doing. It gives me perspective as I pray. And as you worship God, it is also an opportunity to thank God for who He is. Thank Him for forgiving you for your sins and for saving you from eternal death. Thank Him for the hope that you have. Thank Him for the blessings and the people in your life. Next is step three, which is a prayer of surrender and cooperation. Jesus continues, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." In this part of the prayer, it is saying, "God, I want what you want. I want your will in my life and in this world. God, you know best and your ways are best. So your kingdom and your purposes come and your will be done in how I do my job, in how I speak, in my marriage, in my parenting, in how I interact with others, in how I use the stuff and the resources that I have. God, your will be done in my life and in this world." It is a prayer where we daily choose to surrender to God for what He wants. But it is not just surrendering, but it is also cooperating with Him, to partner with Him to do what He wants. It is cooperating with God so that His will and His purposes come through in our lives. So when He is asking us to forgive someone, it is surrendering our will and cooperating with Him to do what He asks. When He is asking us to prioritize Him in our daily routine, it is surrendering our will and cooperating with Him to reorder everything around His priorities. When God wants to do something in our community or in this world, it is surrendering our will to Him and then cooperating with Him by using our time and our resources as we become His hands and feet in our community and in His world. Our natural default posture is control and seeking for our will to be done. But this prayer is asking God to align our hearts to His heart so that we can do what He says. Jesus had the same posture of surrender and cooperation with His Father on the way to the cross. "Abba, Father," He said, "everything is possible for You. Take this cup from Me, yet not what I will, but what You will." Jesus modeled this for us when He surrendered His will in order to have His Father's will done, and Jesus cooperated with His Father in order to die on a cross so that all of humanity would have an avenue for the forgiveness of sins and allow them to be made right with God. And this part of the prayer shifts our focus to seek God for His best in our lives and in this world. It moves us from being self-centered to God-centered, and from being self-reliant to now being God-reliant. Next is step 4, which is a prayer of dependence. Jesus continues saying, "Give us today our daily bread." Jesus was saying, pray that God gives you the necessities of what you need, rather than praying for the luxuries of life, the things that you may not necessarily need. Praying this was an expression of ultimate day-to-day dependence on God to provide for you and meet all of your needs. Not less that we would still be in want, and not more that we would end up forgetting Him, but just enough for our daily needs, just enough for us to be able to do what we need. This practice allows us to be present with God today, to focus on the needs of today, and to be appreciative for what God has given us today. For many of us, we're always jumping ahead to tomorrow and the next day's needs, but Jesus is very specific to say, "God, give me my daily bread," meaning what I need for this day so that I can continue to rely on You to provide for me. Jesus does not ask His Father to give Him His weekly bread, or His yearly bread, or His next 10 years ahead of bread, because He knows that His Father, if His Father were to grant that, there would be no reason to trust His Father anymore, as your trust would instead be in the things that you have, and that even applies to us. God promises to meet our needs, not meet our greeds. No good parent gives a child everything that the child asks for. We know that would be dangerous and that would not be loving. But many of us can also remember prayers that we prayed that God did not answer. And we look back and we are so thankful that He didn't give us what we wanted at the time. So it is telling God, "You know what's best for me, and so You, God, You give me what I need." So He encourages us to ask, but God ultimately knows what is best for us and the timing of that. And so a prayer of dependence and asking God for our daily bread is saying, "God, what You give me is enough, and I'm okay with what You have given me. I don't need to compare with other people because I trust You, and I know You will care for me." Next is step 5, which is a prayer of cleansing. Jesus says, "And forgive us our debts." Jesus says that when you are having that conversation with God, admit your faults to him and how you have sinned. Because our sin puts a wedge between us and God and us and others. And so confessing allows those sins to be removed so that there is nothing between you and God. In fact, Jesus calls our sin a debt because our sins deserve to be punished by him because we have broken his laws. But when we confess what we have done and what we have done that is wrong or how we have fallen short, God forgives us and he acquits us of all the charges against us. This allows us to spiritually start to clean house. Scripture says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. A lot of times during confession, people will say, God, forgive me for all my sins. But that in reality is a cop-out. We're basically saying, hey, God, just cover the whole pile. I mean, that's not painful and it's not even embarrassing when you do that. Instead, when you confess, pull out the sin that you committed one by one and confess them by name. Hey, God, forgive me for my pride and for thinking that my way is always better than your way. And when I went ahead and made that dumb decision, that's pulling it out one by one. Hey, God, forgive me for my unbelief that you won't provide a way through this difficult situation. Hey, God, forgive me for being irresponsible with my time and my resources and for only using all these things for myself. Hey, God, forgive me for getting drunk again and again and again. God, forgive me for being lazy and unmotivated, especially when it comes to your purposes. Hey, God, forgive me for being very quick to judge others and for not wanting to extend mercy when I am wronged. God, I'm sorry. And when we pray a prayer of cleansing by revealing our sin to God and asking him to forgive us, we can now begin to feel the weight of our sin lighten up as we repent, meaning to turn from our sinful ways and to now seek to live the higher road that God has intended by going his way and by living into his forgiveness that he has given us. Next is step 6, which is a prayer of release. Jesus says, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. See, not only are we asking God to forgive us of our debts, but Jesus also says that we are to forgive others of their debts as well, especially when they have sinned against us. We're not to hold on to them with grudges and aim for retaliation, but instead we are to release those people who sinned against us. Many times we seek to be released from our sin, but we refuse to release others who have hurt or betrayed us. And when we live in a way where we withhold our forgiveness from others because of the wrongs that they have done to us, then God says, then why would I forgive you if you're not going to forgive that person? It doesn't mean that we lose our salvation, but if we hold on to our unforgiveness, it will affect our relationships, and the unforgiveness starts to fester and destroy us. And this is the hard part, because it is not naturally possible to forgive. It is actually impossible to forgive, because all we want is retaliation. That is why forgiving those who have hurt us is a supernatural act, because we don't have it in ourselves to forgive. But with God's help, we actually can. This doesn't mean that what that person did to us wasn't wrong, because it really was. But it is making a decision to not hold the sin against them and to surrender that person to God as God deals with that person accordingly. And so this act of releasing that person to God by forgiving them allows for us to experience freedom. People will frequently sin against us or even fall short of what we had hoped, but we can learn to forgive such people once we remember how much we have been forgiven by God. Because when we frequently sin, he forgives us. So because God freely forgives us for our sins, as followers of Jesus, we must also extend forgiveness to others when they have sinned against us. Next is step 7, which is a prayer of protection. Jesus continues, "And lead us not into temptation." This prayer signifies our need from God for protection. It is asking God, whenever I'm tempted, please give me the strength and help me to overcome it. Teach me to run from sin and keep me from doing the wrong things. However, this prayer is not just to keep us from doing the wrong things, but also to keep us from the temptation to not do the things that are right. A lot of times we fall into this kind of temptation because we fear what others may think of us, or because we don't want to step out of our comfort zone or be in a position where we are inconvenienced. And so it's asking God to protect us from the temptation to only look out for my interests at the expense of everybody else's interests, or to protect us from not saying something when we see something that is wrong that is being done, or to protect us from the temptation to hold on to our comforts instead of taking risk, or to protect us from the temptation to procrastinate instead of making the most of the time that we have. It is also a prayer where we are asking God for us to live in a way where we are not causing others to fall into temptation, to either do wrong or to not do right. There are endless temptations that we face daily, but our prayer is for God to protect us so we can keep our eyes on Him and do the right thing in His eyes. Next is step 8, which is a prayer of deliverance. Jesus continues, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." The evil one that Jesus mentions here is Satan, also known as the devil, the one who tempts us to go the opposite of what God wants. Scripture tells us the many names that describe the devil's true nature: the tempter, the deceiver, the ruler of demons, the evil one, the enemy, the adversary, and the god of this age, who is bent on undermining everything that God wants and is bent on destroying God's human creation, blinding people from believing in the God who loves and cares for them. He is a real enemy, which is why Satan is out there to get you again and again. And this prayer is where we are depending on God's power to deliver us from whatever we face, from Satan or even the evil that we face in this world. When everything seems to be conspiring for our downfall, this is the prayer for God's help and deliverance as we depend on Him to see us through. It is saying, God, deliver me from this situation. I feel like the enemy is attacking me at all sides. All my relationships are falling apart. There is conflict everywhere. Physically, I feel sick. I feel stressed. I feel exhausted. Emotionally, I feel empty because of all this weight that is on me. God, I need your help. I need you to save me from this. I need a light in all this darkness. God, deliver me. Then the last and final step is step 9, a prayer for victory. Jesus says, "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." What Jesus is saying is that ultimately, Father, it is your kingdom and it's your power and it's your glory that will reign over everything in our lives and in this world. So whatever we are facing, whatever obstacles are in our way, whatever oppression we are feeling, whatever uncertainties are looming, this is a prayer of faith, trusting that in spite of all the things that are happening, we are believing that God is in control, that He will have victory in, through, and around us, that because of our relationship with Him, we will experience His power and live the kind of life that He intended for us from the very beginning, and that no matter what happens to us, we will give God the glory, trusting that ultimately He will use all things for His purposes and for our good. This is a way to end our time of prayer in faith, knowing that God has the ultimate victory and wants us to experience that same victory as well, forever and ever and ever. Amen. So what are the 9 steps we can take to deepen our prayer life with God? Step 1 is a prayer of connection, our Father in heaven. Step 2 is a prayer of worship, hallowed be your name. Step 3 is a prayer of surrender and cooperation. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Step 4 is a prayer of dependence. Give us today our daily bread. Step 5 is a prayer of cleansing. And forgive us our debts. Step 6 is a prayer of release, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Step 7 is a prayer of protection, and lead us not into temptation. Step 8 is a prayer of deliverance, but deliver us from the evil one. Step 9 is a prayer for victory, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So this one prayer that Jesus taught is a model for us to take steps to build intimacy with him in prayer. And remember, this is a model, meaning you can venture out from any one of these 9 individual prayers to have your own conversation with God. And every day this looks different. Some days you will go through all 9 steps, and other days you may only focus on 1 step as your prayer. So one day your prayer might be the prayer of dependence. Hey, God, please give me what I need today. On another day, it may just be the prayer of cleansing, as you made some bad decisions and choices, and that is your time with God to now confess and be cleansed. On another day, you may be praying the prayer of release as you forgive someone for their sins against you. And on another day, a prayer of deliverance as all you can say is, God, help me. It is almost like when I first started to get to know my wife, Kelsey. I usually don't have trouble talking, but when I was in her presence, man, I really struggled talking to her. I was so nervous and I didn't want to say the wrong thing and I kept on fumbling. And so what I did was I came up with 5 questions that I would ask her about her. And these 5 questions were a model for me to start this conversation in order to talk with her. It was good because when I asked her one of the questions, it eventually led to other questions and deeper conversations with her. And then I would pull out the next question. And that would venture off to even more conversation and more questions. But it would be kind of weird if every time I saw Kelsey, while I was getting to know her, if I asked her the exact same 5 questions every single time. Because if I did, the extent of how I knew her would be very limited. The questions were a good start, but if I continued to just stay with those questions, the relationship would not have gone much deeper. So the Lord's Prayer is actually very similar. Jesus was saying that, hey, this is a model for us to use to start a conversation with God so that we can then venture off as we talk and listen to God and as we get to know him on a much deeper and more intimate level. But if these words that Jesus said are all we use to talk to God, it will actually limit our intimacy with God because it wasn't meant to just be recited again and again. So use this model this week as a way to get to know God and to deepen your relationship with him. And then commit to picking a time during your day to connect and be with God. What I like to do is to not just have 1 time in the day to connect, but to try to do it all throughout the day. It is 5 minutes here and then 1 minute there and then 3 minutes again. And when I do that, it actually becomes an ongoing dialogue with God all throughout my day. Just like we have appointments on our schedule of people we need to see and places that we need to be at, why not? Why not make appointments in your schedule throughout your day to connect with God. And actually put such appointments in your calendar. So when you wake up and get out of bed, have an appointment in your calendar to pray. When you're driving and you hear a great song on the radio, use that time now as an appointment to connect with Him about it and about your day that you're about to face. After a meeting, have time with God. Make that as an appointment as you reflect with Him on how the meeting went and how you felt about it. When you're having a conversation with a friend, connect with God as to how you can be a listening ear or an encouragement to your friend. It is really being mindful to include God in the things that I do, and it's making a space for Him. That way, we get to now include God already in everything that we're already doing. And so go ahead and try this week as you set appointments with God throughout your day where you can pray through the Lord's Prayer and see how God meets you with it. And you will find that when you spend time with God, you will not only experience Him in a much deeper way, but you also will start to become conformed to the likeness of Jesus. Let me pray for us. God, we humble ourselves so that we can seek You. And we want more of You in our lives, so we utilize this model that You have given us as a way to connect and be with You. And so God, thank You that we don't have to do life alone, but that we have You in our lives in order to guide us and shape us. You know, as we continue in prayer, maybe you're hearing all this and you're realizing that you don't have a relationship with God and that you want one. You want to experience His hope, His love, His mercy, and His forgiveness for your sins. Well, know that God loves you so much that He came as Jesus in order to forgive you for your sins and to create an avenue so that you can have a real relationship with Him now and for all of eternity. He lived the perfect life, and then Jesus chose to die for your sins and my sins so that we could have forgiveness and life in Him. And not only did He die on a cross, but Jesus, on that third day, He rose from the dead, proving to the whole world that He wasn't just a man, but that He's the God who saves. And if that is what you want, meaning you want a relationship with the God of the universe, then I want to invite you right now to ask Jesus to come into your life, to save you from your sins, and to transform you into the person that you were meant to be. If that is your desire today, then will you pray with me right now, saying, Heavenly Father, forgive me for all of my sins. Save me and make me new. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit so that I can follow You for the rest of my life. Help transform me into the person that You meant for me to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. If you prayed to ask Jesus to come into your life, then that means that you now have a relationship with the God of the universe and that you are a part of His family. Please email us at info@communitycitychurch.org to let us know of your decision, and we would love to get to know you better and even give you some resources to help you grow in that relationship with God. Now go in peace to love and to serve the Lord.